Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know me, by now you should know that I can't sit still in the presence of the Lord. When we come before the presence of the Lord, it is to be happy. He is our Father. Praise God. Do you go to your father's house and sit stum? No. You're happy when you get there. You're pleased to see him. Praise God. And we are here this morning. We give God thanks and praise for He is a great God. We've said it earlier. He's supreme. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. He's given us life. He's the owner and controller of the whole universe. Praise the Lord. And that is something to say thank you to the Lord for, even just to wake up this morning. Is that not so? Praise God. Don't forget, I like you to heckle me, so that's fine. At least I know you're there and you're listening. Hallelujah. Powerful God we serve, a supreme God we serve, amen. Hallelujah, maker of all life, life, amen. Before I go any further, if we've not met this morning before, and I think I know most of the faces, well, my name is Agatha, and it's been said before, praise God. But we just want to thank God for this church. Thank God for inviting me, Elder Pam, and for the workers of this church, praise God. May he expand you and make you fruitful. We didn't expect many, as was said this morning, but there's so many of us, we have enough to say hallelujah to the Lord. Amen? Praise God. I didn't hear you. Amen. So I praise God also for my neighbor, Andy, who has brought me here this morning, because you know I live a long way away now, and for our trustee, Sister Pam, who is here, faithful. We give God praise. And right now, I just want to pray for protection. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present myself with this church. I ask for your covering. I ask you to be here with us, Lord, in any way that you feel you want to, over this place, within the hearts. Teach us in your own special way this morning. Move in this place, O Lord, my Father, so that when your people leave here today, they'll be refreshed, amen, happier and healthier than they were when they came in. Is that not good? Praise the Lord. Something good to ask God for? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sharing on Christian witness this morning, and we sang a lot about it earlier, if you've noticed the words of the hymns that we sang. What I'm not going to be doing is teaching on missions and steps to evangelism and things like that, because when you hear witness, those are the things you think about. We go on as witnesses, not evangelists. They have their special duties to do. The Lord has gifted them to do it, and they do it very well. But every single Christian is told, go forth and do something. We saw it on the board earlier. We are told also that every single Christian believer must witness. And so from my own humble position, that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm just reminding you what you already know. We give God praise. Amen. And to say to you that God wants us to have an equal chance in his presence and an equal chance for his kingdom. Praise God. And so that is why he tells us, go and witness to others so that they will hear and know and understand who he is and why they should tell others about him. When you hear the words witness, you also need to not think negatively. We need to think positively, praise God. Because for us, we go beyond that word. We go beyond that initial stage of drawing the people and talking to them and bringing them to Christ. We go beyond it because Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 to 14 that we need to tell people, don't just step at the cross. Don't just stop at the cross. That is why we lose people. Don't stop at the cross. Go beyond it and tell them about sharing. Sharing in the Abrahamic agreement that was made with the Lord, the covenant, all the blessings that sit under that is salvation. And within salvation, the main word is peace, praise the Lord. So it is about taking them beyond that step so they can understand and make an informed choice as to why they need Jesus, praise God. Often in the past, when I thought about witnessing, I used to think of it as somebody with a bundle of tracts. Somebody at my door giving me jip. Somebody who is in the marketplace with a megaphone shouting, Jesus is Lord and Jesus loves you. All of that is good, praise God. They're doing it in their own way. Now we come to understand, we need to know that we need to go beyond that, praise God. Were you like me, walking on the other side of the road and pretending that our eyes haven't met so that they don't give you another track? Come on, we've all done it. I know you've done it. You have. You've done it. I've done it. That was before I knew better. Praise the Lord. So we give God praise for his work in our lives today. And we thank him because the evangelists who go out and do their work according to their gifts have not an easy task to do. But us as witnesses, all Christians required to do it, it is not too hard. If you'd listened or read along with the readings that was up today, you will see that it's not very hard. It's not too hard. We need to go about and to do what we have to do. Not just going about, but with a purpose, praise God. We need to share the grace of God, the saving grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only for the future, because we tell people, oh, it's for the future and eternal life. That is true, praise God. But it's also for today. So when you come to hear the full gospel, you should also hear that, amen. And you notice that Peter did that very well in the portion of scripture that was read earlier. Consider the Old Testament saints. People say, well, they didn't evangelize. That's not true. They evangelized. The Jews think of Abraham as the one of the first evangelists. We don't get taught that. But that is a fact. Noah and Moses, they witnessed, and they witnessed powerfully for the Lord. They witnessed in such a way that, well, I'll tell you how they did it. They followed God's lead. They followed his lead, they spoke what they saw, they looked at his power, they told others about it, they boasted about God whenever they could, praise the Lord. They shared his power, amen. They told how he keeps his word. He's a God who keeps his word. He still keeps it today, praise God. They told how he was a rewarder and is a rewarder. He still is a rewarder, amen, to those who follow his lead, praise the Lord. They interceded for each other. When was the last time we interceded for somebody? When, without just standing and reading a formal prayer? When was the last time you stood with somebody and interceded for them? And as we sang in the song, rivers of blood, the Lord did interceding on the cross for us, praise the Lord. We would not go that far. It is not done. It is not socially sung for us to be seen to be doing that. I stood in the middle of Boots in Hitchin the other day and prayed for somebody. This is my business and that person's business, praise God, and took them out of their misery. And God saw, he heard, and I didn't care who else heard. I was doing my witnessing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So you can do it. You can do it. You just need to copy Jesus' leadership. And Jesus gave us the commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And you heard what was said, Pam, or Sister Pam read it very well, amen. But no need for us to fear, because at the end of that, he says, he promised, he has empowered you to do it, and he has also told you that he's always with you. If I know that Jesus is with me, if I know that his spirit is within me, if I know that I am secure in that belief, what does it matter about the body? What does it matter what people say or do? What does it matter if I get spat on? It doesn't matter, because I'm doing God's business. Who is more important to me, man or God? And that's the question we ask ourselves. So when we are Christian witnessing, to put it simply, we boast about the God we serve. We follow his leadership. We encourage others You read that in Deuteronomy. The widows, the ones who are less fortunate, we encourage them. We don't encourage each other. We get into the pity of them saying, oh yes, oh how awful, oh how awful, oh how awful. And by the time we leave, both of us are awful and feeling awful. We need to encourage people, no matter how we feel. And sometimes you don't feel like doing it. But it is not about your feeling, it is about their heart, it's about their soul, it is about what God wants to do in that moment that you're there for that person. Am I making sense, somebody? I didn't hear you. Am I making sense? Hallelujah! Praise God. So when we tell the full gospel. When was the last time you heard someone stood up here and shout hallelujah? It means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are told to share the knowledge. Why should we keep it to ourselves as Christians and say, well, I'm okay. I don't need to tell anybody else because I'm okay. I know I'm going to heaven. Am I sure? He said, by talking to them, by telling them, I would be able to see into my own self as well to see whether I'm up to the mark. Please, God, bring us to the mark. Please, God, bring me to the mark. Please, God, hold me at the mark and then further. Praise God. So be it for you this morning as well. Amen. God really, really loves you. He loves his creation. He loves the human creation. He spent time molding you. He spoke the rest into existence, but for yourselves, he molded you very well. Then he breathed his own breath into you. He blessed you with that, placed his own spirit within you. Praise God. So we have a little bit more than the rest. And somebody said to me the other day, well, we're all animals. No, I'm human. Human. One species, the human race. Praise the Lord. And God wants to ask everyone to hear it so we can all come together and be one people with one spirit in one government under God. And that's the whole bottom line of it. Praise God, somebody. So knowing that, and knowing these things that I've just said, and hearing how Peter spoke in Matthew, why was Peter so reluctant to actually go out and speak to non-Jews? When was the last time you spoke to somebody outside of your denomination? I'm here this morning, different denomination. Denominations wouldn't take me to heaven. Jesus does it. Praise the Lord. It is Jesus that does it. Amen. It is by grace of God through faith. Hallelujah. So the same Peter, this is the Peter that we read about earlier, who was with Jesus for more than 3 years, 3.5 years or more. He was with Jesus, the rabbi. He had all the teachings. Praise the Lord. He was one of Christ's inner circle. Peter, he knew Jesus' compassion. He watched Jesus do so many important things like raising people from the dead. He heard the baptizer say to Jesus and to the crowd listening, this man is the Holy One of God. Peter knew how Jesus placed himself in scripture in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. He placed himself. The religious people didn't want to accept that. They didn't like the fact that he'd done that. But he placed himself, and praise God that he did it, because that was a prophecy of his own self. Hallelujah. We're not talking about that this morning, but I just want you to know that Peter knew of all that. He knew about Jesus. He was there when Jesus prophesied. He prophesied his own death, resurrection, ascension. He prophesied all of these things. And Peter stated in the scripture that we read, we were witnesses to all of that. And yet he found it difficult to go out. Not like you and I, we would have been dining out on all of these things that we've just said for weeks and maybe years. Who knows? You know, some people, they sit to dine and they tell you the same story all the time. Peter could have been doing that. At that time, though, Peter was behaving in a fearful manner, but just as we would do, just as any other man would do. I don't blame him. I'll tell you why in a minute. Peter was bound by his tradition. Most of us are bound by tradition. We don't want to hear anybody else speak because we know truth. We don't know anything. We haven't even started. We can't think outside our own personal cultural box. Peter was full of guilt because he had denied Jesus before. And even though Jesus had forgiven him for his denial of him, it was still on Peter's mind. Do you know that is why some of us need deliverance? A lot of people don't agree with that, but we need to be delivered from these old-fashioned ways, the things that hold us in bondage. So the reason for that is that every time you want to do good, and Paul said it, the memory of the old thing that you've done is there in your minds. Well, we need to be able to leap over that in Jesus' name and move forward. Amen. And sometimes you need a person witnessing with you or sitting alongside you to be able to help you to move out from that place, that box, that prison, to move out from that wrong thinking. And then we need to repent of that wrong thinking before we can move on, because the enemy will come back and remind it to you time and time again. Does that resonate with you? Does that resonate with you? Do you think of people like the way Peter thought of people? That was due to his religion, that non-Jews weren't clean, and the rest thought that the Jews were not clean. This is the wrong thinking that we have. And then we judge people as unlikely to be saved, so we don't approach them. We don't approach them. We look at the hate-filled fundamentalist and we say, he should be hung. That person needs help. He is full of wrong thinking. We look at the seasoned drug dealer and we look at the streetwalker and we say, well, they're not going to go to heaven. Who are we to say that? You'd be surprised that you might meet some of them there. If you do go get there, you'll meet them in heaven. They probably get there before us. Some of you might get to heaven even before me. I don't mean in terms of your physical life, but I'm talking about the things that you do in your life. None of us are perfect, praise the Lord. So do you see the hopeless person as being so hopeless that they're dead-enders? These are the people who need help, and these are the people that need you to witness to them about the love of God and about the things that we need to hear that by grace can change us. Do you know it is God's will that we should go and tell? We read it earlier. Do you know that God has no favorites? We read that in Deuteronomy. He's no respecter of persons, two or three places in the Bible. God loves us all, praise the Lord. He has no favorites, amen. Therefore, everyone is precious to him, hallelujah. And that is why he wants us and expects us to witness, praise God, about his grace for us through Jesus Christ, amen. Every person needs access through that gate. Do you know that some people, they don't care, they don't believe, but they'll stand outside the gate and block others from entering? Are you with me? Does that make sense? They won't go in, but they won't allow others to go in. Of course, Peter had reason to be cautious. I said I'd tell you. So now I'm telling you. The political climate at the time, 2,000 years ago for Christians, were not good. Christians were thought to be troublemakers. The Romans couldn't stand them, and they couldn't stand each other, and the Jews could not stand the Gentiles, and that was the way things were. And everybody, what do you say, snitched on everybody else. Everybody talked on everybody else. Everybody gave them away. The Christians then had to flee persecution. Some were impaled, some were killed, some were reluctant to witness, they lost their faith, and some were stuck in the mode of thinking that they can't go out of their comfort zone because they don't know what might happen to their lives. So that is why I say I can't blame him. And because God knows that as well, God had to do something supernatural. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. God had to do something supernatural. He gave Peter a supernatural push. He sent him a vision, make Peter to think. And then when Peter is questioning it, he says to Peter, don't call anything that God has made unclean. You see, they have strict rules about what's clean and unclean. Am I right, somebody? Praise God. I would love you to say yes rather than shake your head. Because in some cultures, that means no. And the Roman centurion, what about him? He was a man who represented a brutal occupying army. That was the brush that they were tarred with. He was in that area to keep order with the Jews because they were supposed to be troublemakers. They were called not Christians, but people of the way or this way. But he was different, praise God. Even though he was in his high position, he was a different person. And some of us might look apart, but we may be different. Different. Of all the people that I thought would have brought me here this morning, look at who has brought me here. I give God praise, hallelujah, for him. I pray that God will bless him and bless his family and open ways for him and fill him with favor in the name of Jesus. So God loves us. This man loved God. He loved the laws. He followed all the stuff in Deuteronomy. Amen. He wasn't a Christian, but he followed. He prayed. He did good works. He helped those who were unfortunate. What a man. And when God looks and sees that, though he wasn't a Jew, God thought to himself, I've got to do something for this man. I've got to do something to help him. Praise God. Hallelujah. God sent an angel to him to prepare him to meet Peter. Do you think you're here by chance this morning? God is speaking. He has something to say to every single one of us. Praise God this morning. He's taught me about dependency. I was very independent. Some of you know. But he's taught me that I have to depend sometimes on somebody. And it's good for me. And I appreciate that teaching. It's very humbling. I give God praise. Hallelujah. So by the time Peter heard Cornelius' story, because I don't want to go into the depths of it, it'll take time. They came together and Cornelius, the Roman general, started telling Peter about how he came to send for him. And by the time Peter heard that, something clicked in Peter's head. Something resonated in Peter's mind. Some awareness came to Peter, and Peter exclaimed in Acts 10, 34 to 35, he said, I now realize that God shows no favoritism. Until then, he thought God was only for the Jews. But he shows no favoritism. Until then, he didn't think he could come out of his comfort zone to go and speak to people out there. But God sent him to speak to this man who was not a Christian. The man needed Jesus. And Peter needed to move forward in his vision. Praise God. Another level, another realm. Praise the Lord. Amen. That man needed to know that the same laws that he was following about the blessings of Abraham would be his. He didn't know how to go about it. He thought good works will take him to heaven. But God wanted him to know that Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the living God, it's the one through whom you can get to heaven. The only one, the only way, the only gate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The only way, no other way. All Peter's fears at that moment when he saw that, when he had that realization, Peter's fears vanished. His insecurities vanished. Praise the Lord. And Peter began to witness. Peter witnessed with such power, praise the Lord, that the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came and he took control, and everybody in that house, black, white, Jews, whatever they were, because Jews came with Peter to Cornelius' house, whoever was there, high and low and rich, old servants, guards, everybody, every holy pandemonium. Did I say the word right? But you know what I'm saying? It broke loose in that place, and people who lived close by would have been saying, what's going on for these people over there? They're so noisy. Ah, they had the Holy Spirit. God was working in them. God was doing a new thing, not just for them, but for the world. Look, we are talking about it today. Praise the Lord. And everybody received Christ. Not only that, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with and spoke in tongues. They were baptized in water. That very day, all of that happened to all of the people who was in Cornelius' house. Amazing. Only God could do that. Can you see what I'm talking about witnessing? When Peter began to witness, and he witnessed, if you'll have to read it in your own time, he witnessed the complete gospel, praise the Lord. And he witnessed it from his own position of seeing Jesus, hearing Jesus, being with him, knowing what he's done, and then telling it abroad, praise the Lord. Amen. And you are here today, amen. And I'm just wondering, what lessons would you have learned today? For me, I've learned a lot just getting myself ready to be here this morning. I've been up since 4:30 this morning. Praise the Lord. Would we have learned that we must loose ourselves from the hang-ups, wrong attitudes, wrong behaviors? Accept all people as being loved by God just as you are? Would we have learned how to change horizons? Because Peter had to change his horizons. God wanted him to speak forth to everybody. Would we have learned something about taking down religious and cultural beliefs? Would we have learned that this morning? Would we have learned how to speak about God and speak about him as he's alive, praise the Lord, as Sister Pam said this morning, and boast of his power, and boast of his love, and boast of the rewards that he's given to us, and boast about the eternal life through our zeal, praise the Lord. Would we have learned that? You already knew it. I'm just reminding you. You knew all of this. And I'm just reminding you, because that's my job, is to encourage. I have to encourage. God has called me to encourage. Never to put down, but to encourage. And I have to be persistent, and I have to be consistent. I'll just tell you this, because I know that we've only got a few more minutes. There was once a little boy, 11 years old, and this little boy used to go out with his father every Sunday after church, like today, go out to hand out tracts. One day, it was cold, bitterly cold. It was wet, it was raining. He came home, they ate and everything, and then the child went, got his tracts, put on his coat, wrapped his neck up, and came to his father and said, "Dad, I'm ready to go." The father said, "Go where, son?" He said, "Go to hand out tracts." The father said, "It is too wet today. It is too cold today." And the boy said, "But Dad, aren't people going to hell today even though it's cold and wet?" And the father said, "Well, all right, son, don't go too far. I'll bless you to go. Take care." So he went. He went with his tracts. The little boy stayed in the rain, he stayed in the cold, he stayed out there, he handed his tracks. 2 hours passed, and he was going home. He had one track left. So he decided he wasn't going to go home with that one track. So he stopped off at a door that nobody else would stop off at. Dingy, run down. He stopped off at that door, and he knocked. Nobody came. He knocked again. Nobody came. He waited a while, and then he knocked persistently. And then a little elderly lady came to the door, and she said, "What can I do for you, son?" And he said, "Ma'am, I just wanted to give you my one tract and say to you, God really, really, really loves you." And with that, he went home. The next Sunday, his father, Pastor Dad, the dad was a pastor. I said that earlier, did I? Did I say it? You weren't listening. The dad was a pastor. Praise the Lord. Got up on the pulpit to speak. Looked at the door. And there was a lady coming through the door he'd not seen before. And the lady ignored everything, ignored him. Came up to the front of the church and stood up and said, "I am here I've not been to church for years and years and years. I am a widow. I'm alone. And last Sunday, God sent an angel to my door who was very persistent and stopped me from doing something dreadful. She said, I heard the knock the first time. I heard it the second time. I thought the person would go away if I stayed away long enough and didn't go to the door. The person did not go. So I came down to see what all this urgency was about. And she said, the child gave her the tract that tells her, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God, the tract went on and on and on and told her how to give her life to Jesus. The lady went back upstairs, took down the rope, she was in the attic, took down the chair and waited to go to church next Sunday to tell everybody about it. The address was on the tract. Make sure when you hand out your tract, the address of this church is on the back, praise the Lord. And that lady was saved from death by a little boy who insisted in going out in all weathers, in very cold and wet, to save one soul. He saved her life. The lady continued and continued onwards, going to that church and going out to witness. And she used herself. She didn't know the word much, but she knew how God saved her. And that's what she told everyone. Praise the Lord. Witnessing to others. I need to stop, don't I? I give God praise. I give God praise. Because give me half a chance and I'll be here till next week. Huh. So we give God praise. Mother Teresa tells us very well what the goal is. Salvation, life with Christ eventually, but peace and joy today. And she said you can do it if you just decide to be the brightest light that you can be. And that's what that child did. Praise God. Praise God.